The basketball came in the hands of his son. He tossed it. It went through the loop. And they won the game, state championship, by 1 point. And he, leaving that game, he said, could meeting with anybody be more important than being with my son, shooting the last shot into the basket and winning the state championship and being his dad present? Second thing was, we have our granddaughter living us with us for a few days, my oldest grandchild. She's 12 years old, and being like a 12-year-old, I think she slept in this morning. And I told Nancy, give her grace, give her grace. We're speaking into her life. But what I did with my children growing up, and they got so accustomed to it that when I come home from a hard day's work, I would sit on the sofa and they would jump on and put their feet in my lap and say, rub my feet. So I told my granddaughter, I said, you know, I think it'll be a great idea. Why don't I give you a foot rub? But I was amazed at what was happening to me while I was giving her a foot rub, and thinking back at my own children and my own daughter and all that, and doing that. But as thinking about what was happening there, I thought about what an honor it was to do it, but what an act of service it was for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to wash the feet of the disciples. You know, as much as a foot massage is comforting, what a comfort it must have been when Jesus washed their feet and declared to them and to us thousands of years later, you're clean. You're clean. Know that you're clean. Now, Father's Day message is the first time I've always talked about, oh man, you're so blur when I'm going to try this big enough print. It's, as I was thinking about this Father's Day, and in past Father's Day, we find examples of fathers in the scriptures, and really the truth of the matter is, it would be hard-pressed to find a perfect father. They did a lot of good things, but then they didn't do it perfectly. And you know, one thing as a dad and a grandfather, we won't always do things perfectly. But it's knowing the Heavenly Father that's really key. And in a funny way, I came in to open this up in Acts 2:24, but God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. It's key to know. And as I was asking the Holy Spirit, what about this Father's Day? You know, we could pick things up and from Scripture about really earthly fathers that are recorded in Scripture. But I thought to myself, I said, you know what? I want to search the scriptures and find some key things that Jesus, while he lived on the earth, what he thought of, what he felt, what he knew about his Father. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And the first one is, and I think it's a good place to start, identity. You know, where is my and yours identity? Is it wrapped up in an earthly father with their good points and their bad points? Or when you and I came out to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we invited Him to come into our life. And when that transaction happened, the gift of the Holy Spirit came in. And God is saying on our journey in life, He wants and desires that our identity gets wrapped up in our Abba Father. You know, to focus on who He is and what He is to you and me. And it says, be children of your Father in heaven, found in Matthew. You know, it just kind of takes that identity from your earthly father and now makes a shift and says, be children of your Father in heaven. So the first thing that we're looking at is identity. Identity. And then very quickly in the scripture, and there's really no order here, and it might volley back and forth, but in the scripture in Matthew, it declares that only Him, He's the only one who holds this position. He's the perfect Father. If you're looking for your identity in your Heavenly Father, God wants you and me to know that as we put our confidence in Him, He is and could only hold the position of the perfect Father. Wow, so you and I, actually, since we come to life in Jesus, we can have relationship with a Father that is perfect. Perfect in every way. So when things don't happen the way we think they should happen, when there's maybe we send prayers up there and we haven't seen the results of that prayer, remind yourself, He's the perfect Father. The perfect Father knows what's best for you and me. That's what He is. And then going on this journey of what Jesus, how Jesus talked about His Father, He said, He knows our needs. He knows our needs better than we know our needs. You know, I could say, you know, in my lifetime, I've owned 3 Corvettes. And back in the 60s, they said, we're going to make a mid-engine one. And I said, why did they wait so long? You know, I'm through with Corvettes. But now they come out with a mid-engine one. So I might say, Father, give me a mid-engine Corvette, 77 years old. I just want to buzz in. But you know what? I don't need that, and He knows I don't need that. And as you and I go before our Heavenly Father, that and our identity is wrapped up in Him, He's the perfect Father, He knows what you and I need. He knows before we even ask Him what we need. And he deserves that position that when we say in Scripture and declare Scripture before His throne and say, all our needs are met according to His riches and glory, that He knows what they are. He knows exactly when to give them. He knows exactly when to provide them. And we don't need to live in any spiritual frustration. We got a great Heavenly Father, and He knows our needs. Father, in Matthew it says, Father knows what we need before we even ask Him. That's scriptural. That's Peter loves the scripture, what it says, right? So then he goes on to say, and Jesus refers to His Father as kind. It says that in Luke it says, we are children of the Most High because He is kind. He is kind. He'll never get mad at you. It's just, Jesus knew the nature of his Father. He said, my Father in heaven is full of kindness. Full of kindness. You know, and I just saw, I mentioned at 8:30 this morning on America's Got Talent, a young lady, 30 years old, came to the platform and she said, hey, what are you going to do for us? I'm going to sing a song. He said, and they asked her questions, you know, who are you? What about you? Are you married? Are you single? And whatever else. And she, amongst other words, she says, I have terminal cancer in three parts of my body. And there's something, you probably need to look at it, look it up on YouTube, whatever. She made a statement about, as she's been going through this thing, how she got angry with God, mad at God, felt guilt and condemnation. Maybe I got this because I've done something terribly wrong. And she said, the emotions were all over the place. All over the place. And then in this process of having cancer, her husband said, I don't love you anymore, and divorced her. And she was left. So when she was on the stage, they said, who came with you? She said, I'm all alone. I'm all alone dealing with this. And I don't know whether I'm going to have another day. But I'm here. And I want to sing for you. And she sang a song that she wrote. And the chorus was, I'm okay. I'm okay. Had to come to the place in her life, I'm okay with what's going on in my life. It might be that part of that okay is her connection with a God that's full of kindness. Full of kindness. She said, you know, whether I never make it to 31, it makes no difference. Because I know who I belong to. Jesus also referred to his Heavenly Father, but he who sent me is true. And that true, you know, can also be defined as faithful. He's faithful in every area. So Jesus referred to his Father as being true and faithful. That's who I come from. That's the relationship that you and I have that Jesus declared about his Father in heaven, that he's faithful. And he remains faithful even though years may pass. There's a record of people that were following God in the scripture that what their heart's desire for did not come to fulfillment for years. I would say, you know, sometimes we have a gospel of the instantaneous God that takes care of everything. But the idea of a fruit of the Spirit being patient, do we know the God that is faithful? Do we know the God that you and I can rest? We can rest in him, even though what we're bringing before his throne has not come to pass. Because not coming to pass does not equate to unfaithfulness. Faithfulness is, I have confidence of the God that I'm praying to, that he will come through for me. In John, it says in the book of John, but he who sent me is trustworthy. Jesus talked about his Father being trustworthy. You know, and that can be a difficult road for some of us. You know, things that happen in our life, things that were really not pleasant to go through. I mean, can I go before God? Can I really trust God? Can I really trust God when things are not working out the way I thought they should? But yet, Jesus declared his Heavenly Father as somebody, the go-to person that we can trust. You know, how many times in life do you and I sometimes say, I'm not sure I can trust him? But the fact of the matter is, Jesus actually declared that his Father is, in fact, trustworthy. And you know, and that alone for you and I, even when our flesh is crying out, I can't trust him, that we allow the Holy Spirit to rise up and saying, I don't like what's going on. I can't see it coming to pass. But you know what? Jesus said, Father, my Father's trustworthy. I believe he's trustworthy. And I am going to stay in the game. I'm gonna work it out. And I'm going to keep going. Because my God, Jesus said about his Father, he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Then we have several places in Scripture. You know, we heard about the nature of God. Statement, God is love. In three places, Jesus affirmed that about his Heavenly Father, that he is the
personification.
Thank you. It's amazing how sometimes words that were not This is so funny. Yes, like Steve said, of love. That's who he is. Oh, you know what? I don't get embarrassed by stuff like that. It's just the way it is. In John chapter 14, he declares, my Father will love them. My Father will love them. You know, his love is deeper than you and I can imagine. Deeper than you and I can imagine. And he declared, my Father loves them. You know, what a wonderful thing that Jesus, the Son of God, can come to earth and display what his Father is all about. Healing the sick, setting the captives free, delivering people from demons, and doing all this. And part of what his ministry was, as he was ministering to the people, because he knew as a Son of God, as he met people in this world, that behind that he was representing his Father, and his Father that is deeply and compassionately in love with people. He ministered out of the knowledge that his Father loves people, and his heart of hearts is to have connection with mankind, his creation. Then later on in John 16, he says, Father himself loves you. So Jesus being on the planet Earth and ministering the Father's love, he was like best said by him himself, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. I am demonstrating everything who my Father is. And my Father is love. And he says, the Father himself loves you. And he was making that declaration to mankind. And then in 1 John, he says about the Father, he really knows how to love. And he says, see what great love the Father, I love it, has lavished on us. Church, you and me, position yourself to have the Father lavish his love on you. In fact, that, as well as it was as Jesus ministering the love of the Father on mankind, and you want transformation in your life, it's getting a connection, with how lavishly God is loving you. You know, in John one time he says, you know what? It's not a matter of our rhetoric. I love God. You know, it's easy to say, I love God. But life transformation comes from Him loving you. And when we position ourselves to know that we are connected with a Father that is absolutely madly in love with us, that would cause us, like Jesus, to be an instrument of His love to others. You know, it's honestly, when you know how much you're loved by the Father, and all that Jesus Christ accomplished knowing that, it becomes easy not to be offended. Hear me? It actually becomes easy to not be offended. Then he talked, kind of switching gears a little bit, he talked about what his Father had for us even 2,000 years later. He starts saying and declaring, you know, here's my Father. Get your identity with Him. Find out how trustworthy He is and how much full of love He is. And all these saying what the Father is to us. Come on, embrace that. I know my Father. I came from Him. I mean, when he says I came from Him, all declares the virgin birth. He came by supernatural means. And he says, I know because I've spent eternity past, no beginning with my Father. I know Him. I know He is. I know my assignment. I know He sent me here. I know what I'm going to accomplish for Him. Now, knowing that, he says, I want to tell you what the Father has for you and me. He has stuff for us. Leading off, he says, He's the one, it's the Father. Father, He's the one that gives the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He says, your Father in heaven gives the Holy Spirit in Luke 11. He's the one. He's the one that then we're when I was journeying through life, I was like 27 years old, and all of a sudden, I came head to head with the fact that I was on a journey to hell. And I sat in on a toilet saying, is that what the rest of my life? Is that what it needs to be about? And I bowed down and gave my life to Jesus. And I said, Father, forgive me. I'm a huge sinner. I've violated Your truth over and over again. And I experienced the love of God. First thing, love of God. But then what Jesus was saying for all of us, the future generations, when we made that decision, Jesus come into my life. I mean, that's a phrase we use a lot, but when we come to submitting to Him, He said, my Father then has the Holy Spirit indwell you. And of course, if we go on through Scripture, that was just affirming who we are as His children. And then He also wants to empower us. That's called the filling, baptism, whatever term you want to use it. But it's real, and it happens to those who receive the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father has been pleased to give you and me the kingdom. What does that mean? The Father has entrusted. Now, from the day you gave your life in Jesus Christ, this amazing Heavenly Father entrusted you to represent Jesus on the earth. See, we're citizens of the USA, but I am also a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And other scriptures talk about you and I, as we walk through life, have been given the opportunity to be an ambassador of another kingdom. And you know what? Believe it or not, through all our messy stuff and this whole idea of growing in Him, He trusted us from the beginning. From the moment we gave our life to Jesus, He said, yeah, and He knows. The Father knows. The Father knows the good. The Father knows the messy and everything else. But as He trains us, it's a training time when He trains us and He trusts us with the most powerful message that ever hit the planet Earth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He trusts you with it. He trusts me with it. And we may not always do it the right way. We might not always be perfect in that. But God wants to let Jesus, when He talked about His Father, He says, Father has been pleased and honored to give you to become a representative of His kingdom. Jesus also said about His assignment here on earth that His Father provides for us an eternal home. You see, walking this journey with all the good, the bad, the struggles, and everything else we go, there's a message coming about Jesus declaring about His Father. He says, My Father's house has many rooms. Or in My Father's house are many mansions. You know, it's the hope of all of us that we have the hope of His coming. We have the hope of what He has in store for us. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it says He's the one that's providing for that. I mean, here we came to Jesus, and we're here on the earth, and we're doing things, and we're busy about this and busy about that. But imagine we have a Father in heaven that is preparing, making a preparation for a dwelling place for all of us that will never end. An eternal dwelling. My thought is, it's not there yet, because the Father is building it. And what's amazing about the Father, when that time comes, it's a really a huge change in history when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom and we co-work with him here on earth, and there's a new Jerusalem, and there's all this stuff, all this new stuff. My Father doesn't have to labor for that. Remember Genesis 1? He spoke it, and it was there. Spoke it, and he was there. To me, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I've gone away to prepare a place for you. That it's a joyous task of our Heavenly Father, not a burden. And then in ending here, Jesus wants you and I to know that there's a place that we can be . I'm going to read the whole text, but before I read it, he's saying, be an overcomer through love. With you and I, as our knowledge of how greatly loved, how highly favored, how amazingly good God thinks of you and me, is a road to overcoming every life's obstacle. It says here, pulling the verse out of it, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. But let's read this one in context. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is the love of God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that coming to that place, that believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he revealed to us, and just review our identity. We are connected with the perfect Father. He knows our needs. He's kind. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He loves us deeply. He loves you individually. He is love. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We represent his kingdom. He provides us an eternal home. And we are overcomers. You're an overcomer. Learn to trust him and believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to see God working here in this place. You can start playing. Start doing something. That's good. You know, we're going to see God do mighty things. We're going to see him do amazing things. But you know what? It's going to that Heavenly Father that we can go with confidence. All the things we learn, and it's just a piece of the pie of what we learn about who He is, how Jesus declared He is to us. And yet, He said, go to this Father. Go to this Father that's passionately in love with you. And ask Him for assignments. Reveal your heart to Him. Be bold to face the impossible. Believe that He's the God that heals. He's the God that delivers. He's the God that's our provider. He's the God that's our helper. He's the God that's full of love and kindness. Go to Him. He said, go to your Father. Now He's our Father in heaven. Go to Him in my name. Go to Him in my name. The name of Jesus carries strength, power to do the impossible, to take you out of the greatest trouble you might find yourself into, to erase condemnation out of your life, to know that you're forgiven, know that you're loved, know that there's nothing you can do or I can do to make Him love you and me more. Go to my Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And when you go, church, me, you, all of us, remind Him of what He said about you and me. We are more than overcomers. Amen.